Welcome back to part two of what we talked about last week.
Yeah. Hopefully you listened to the last week's. If you didn't, go ahead and listen, because we're just going to be bouncing off of that. So Kara just shared about our friend Darby, another Darby, mm-hmm. about this experience that she had with Darby with the atonement. So I'll just share another thing I was thinking about while you were sharing that.
Please do.
Yesterday, remember how I mentioned that I went to the temple yesterday for a few hours and was just, I was kind of going through it yesterday. There was a lot going on and a lot that I was trying to figure out. And I decided to read The Power of Spiritual Momentum by President Nelson. If you guys remember, it was his talk from April 2022 when he gives like the five steps. So yes. Like, and conflict in your life, seek and expect miracles, the joy of daily repentance, you know, all those things. So one thing that stuck out to me particularly was this quote in specific. It says, few things, well, okay, back up. This is from number four, so mm-hmm. seek and expect miracles. It says, few things will accelerate your spiritual momentum more than realizing the Lord is helping you to move a mountain in your life.
One more time.
I know. It's really complex.
Yes.
Few things will accelerate your spiritual momentum more than realizing the Lord is helping you to move a mountain in your life.
Whoa.
So, like, I think it's so cool how he's saying that there are very few things that will accelerate your momentum than realizing. I think that's a key word in what he said. Mm-hmm. Realizing the Lord is helping you to move a mountain. And that's so simple. It's just something that we just need to realize. We all have mountains in our lives.
Yeah.
That we're trying to get over. Maybe we're just trying to move the mountain completely. Maybe we're trying to get this mountain behind us, but realizing how he's helping us, I think that's maybe another form of gratitude. Just like seeking how he's helping us will progress our spiritual momentum. Isn't that so interesting?
I love that. I feel like that makes it really hopeful too, because mountains are not easy, you know? Like the mountains of our life are usually... are usually our biggest trials or our trials that we're currently going through. And yeah, to realize that the Lord is right there with us. And also, like, those trials are what bring us closer to Him. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, those trials are given to us for the benefit of becoming more like Him. And I feel like that always helps me to, like, kind of pull myself out of the hard times. It's like, how is this helping me come closer to the Lord or my family? Or how is this bettering me as a person? Or even just asking the Lord, like, what am I to learn during this mountain? Like, and to me, it kind of seems like as if me and Jesus were hiking up together, hiking up that mountain and having those, like, you know, when you're on a hike, you always have like the best talks with somebody, whoever's mm-hmm. hiking it with you. I feel like that's how the Lord is in the trials and the mountains of our lives. Like, he's right there to tell us like the best secrets mm-hmm. and the best guidance and the best help, because he's walking that path with us,
yeah.
which to me puts a smile on my face.
Yeah, I love that. I love the concept that the Lord highlights paths for us. I learned this concept from President Grissel, our mission president. I called him, it was probably like a year ago, when I had the really strong prompting to go to cosmetology school.
Oh.
And I was freaking out, because I've explained this in a previous episode, mm-hmm. how I just didn't want to go. And I called him for advice. Luckily, Sister Grissel is a cosmetologist, so, and I kind of forgot about that.
I forgot about that, too.
Yeah, so it was perfect that I got to call with them. But I remember telling him, like, I was like, President Grissel, the Lord told me to go to hair school. I have to go, right? That's like what I said. He was like, well, Darby, you know, the Lord really values our agency. And I don't want to go as far to say that he's like, that you have to go to hair school because of this really strong prompting you got. Maybe see it as like he's highlighting this path for you. Like, Darby, God knows you so well and he loves you so perfectly. And because he knows you so well, he knows like what, like who you are and what you like, what you don't like, what the future you will appreciate, what you won't appreciate. And I think that he's telling you this because this will highlight a path for you that will be in, that will synchronize with future paths.
Totally.
And I one time had this vision come to my mind, like this picture of like, imagine like a path, like a windy road. Mm-hmm. I think over time, members of the church have understood that like, we're not on like this straight and narrow path. We're on like this like straight and narrow path, you know? And so I imagined like this windy path with like these little connection points in between the roads of sure there, maybe there are shortcuts and maybe there are like long roads, but eventually we'll get to that point as long as we're following the Lord. I think that path is within these two big lines of like, we don't want to cross these lines, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's where it can get like kind of dangerous. But within that, those lines and within this path, there are other paths. Maybe there's not just one way. As far as a path, there's one truth, like the gospel of Jesus Christ. But with our agency combined with that truth, there are like different paths that can get us to different points.
Totally. I think that's like the beauty of life. And I think it's cool that we all take a different route. Mm-hmm. You know, we all make it back a different way. But it's 100% so personalized and so individualized to our own needs and who we are and how we're going to become more like Jesus and make it back to him and Heavenly Father one day.
Yeah.
I love that.
I love that too.
I also, when you were talking, I was thinking about in Relief Society, someone shared this like psychology table. And I'd heard about it in school, but I forgot about it. And it's called the Johari window model.
Hmm.
I don't know if you've heard of it.
Interesting. No, I
haven't.
But
it's this like four quadrant model. And it talks about the things that like we know about ourselves and the things that others know about us. And sorry, I got something stuck in my throat. And the one box that is super interesting to me is called our blind spot. And it's where it's what is known to others, but isn't known to ourselves.
Mm, interesting.
And when the Relief Study teacher shared this, or one of the sisters made a comment, I can't remember exactly, I thought about like, whoa, like what's in my box? And then I had a prompting, ask the Lord. He's the one who knows you best and who knows what is in that box and can reveal those things to you.
Mm.
And I felt like to me that was like eye-opening of how I can better, you know, get on that path and maybe take those shortcuts is to know, like what are those things in my box that either I need help with or that are my strengths or are where I need to go or where I shouldn't go. And anyways, I thought those were cool concepts that she had shared.
Yeah, that is so cool. I feel like that ties perfectly in line with, remember the, on our, I guess now our last episode, when we talked about the patriarchal blessing and how your sister-in-law?
Yeah.
What's her name again?
Sam.
Sam. How Sam shared at your FHE, like the to-do list for the patriarchal blessing and the who I am.
Uh-huh.
I did that yesterday.
How'd it go?
It was so good. And so you saying this is reminding me that I feel like that's what my patriarchal blessing has done for me, is it's shown me like those blind spots, like things that I don't think I am, but that like God has told me I am in my blessing. And I remember on my mission reading my blessing and being like, I don't feel like I'm that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like two things in specific that I'll share is, it says that I have a spiritual gift of a loving, kind nature and a gift of an intellectual mind, which I had to really pray and ask the Lord, like, what he means and if that's actually true, because I just, like, don't see that in myself.
I see those. I see those.
And maybe that's exactly why I'm sharing this, because I'm sure other people do, and obviously the Lord does, and that's, like, a blind spot of mine. And I think that is so interesting, like, these things that other people see about us that we don't.
Mm-hmm.
But that it does need to come from God. Or, I mean, there are people in our lives that are that light and that can show that to us.
Totally.
But that's just a really interesting concept, those blind spots.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
And uncovering it with the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
I do too. I need, like, a pondering moment.
I know.
After that one.
I know. Some juice.
I feel like one thing, I don't know why this came to my mind, but speaking of uncovering things in our patriarchal blessing, I feel like I should share this. Maybe someone is thinking about their patriarchal blessing. When I got a prompting in high school to serve a mission, and it was before I got my patriarchal blessing. Mm. And I remember weeks leading up to my patriarchal blessing, I had, like, heard all these stories of, like, other people's patriarchal blessing talking about their mission and, you know, saying that they will serve a mission and all these things. And I was so frightened that mine would not say that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I had just gotten a prompting from the Lord that I needed to serve.
Oh, you were scared that it wouldn't.
I was scared that
it wouldn't say that. I think a lot of people are scared that it will say that.
I know. Yeah. I was scared that it wouldn't, because I knew that the Lord had told me this, but then, like, what if it was not in my patriarchal blessing? Mm-hmm. You know? I was having all these doubts. And then a few days later, I had a devotional with my bishop at the time, and he was talking about patriarchal blessings. And he told me and all of us that just because your patriarchal blessing doesn't say something doesn't mean that it isn't something that you're supposed to do, or even it isn't something that you are, you know? Mm-hmm. I felt like, to me, that was, like, I needed to know that, because at least for me, my patriarchal blessing seems to be shorter and a little more vague, in my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And that was such, and actually it doesn't talk about a mission at all.
Mm.
And that was such a blessing to me, to realize that just because it's not in there doesn't mean it's not going to come to pass. And so to realize that, like, the Lord has a lot in store for us, and he has a lot for us to do, and he feels so many things about us, you know? And just because your patriarchal blessing doesn't say one thing, don't feel like it's not there.
Mm. So I love that.
Maybe that's a reminder to some of you.
Yeah, I love that. I think there is a little bit, I don't want to say in the church, but sometimes people can compare.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there are a few sisters on the mission where they'd be like, we would compare lengths or, like, details. Like, maybe someone talks about, like, a marriage and maybe someone doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And we can really, like, I don't know if cleave is the word I want to use, but, like, really, like, tune into what it does say, but then exactly what you're saying, like, we can trust that there's more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, our whole lives aren't panned out in, like, a 1-2-page paper, you know? Although it's so amazing what it holds for us. There's still that relationship and experiences outside of it that are with the Lord.
Totally.
Which is really cool. But I would encourage everyone to do that exercise. Did you get to finish it?
I haven't. No, I need to. After you said that, I'm like, oh, I need to finish it myself.
Yeah, now's your reminder.
I'm going to. Tonight, I'm going to do it.
You should.
Hold me to it tonight.
Yeah.
I also, one more thing about patriarchal blessings. I was just reminded, we were with my extended family on my husband's side, and Sterling, my husband, had a really remarkable experience with his grandpa. At the end of his life, he pulled Sterling aside and he said, "Will you come read my patriarchal blessing with me, and will you help me to see if it was fulfilled?" And I love that. He didn't look at his patriarchal blessing as, like, as like, I don't know, a fortune teller kind of thing, mm-hmm. but it was more of like, this is the potential of your life, and these are some things that I have for you to do. And so then he wanted to make sure that he fulfilled those promises of the Lord, and he had Sterling be his checker with him to go mm-hmm. through it and to look at it. And I love that. I want to look at my patriarchal blessing and see it as, how can I fulfill this with the Lord? And how can I do these things that he does say and he has told me with him? And what can I start now? Some things, too, seem futuristic, but how can we start fulfilling those prophecies now?
Yeah, I love that. I love that you said it's not a fortune teller. Because yeah. I feel like I've read my grandparents, and sometimes I'm like, I don't know if that actually happened.
Yeah.
But you're right, it's not like a fortune necessarily, but mm-hmm. I love that concept of like, we can do the work to fulfill it so that we get these amazing blessings that he promises us.
Yeah.
And that we can experience if we're obedient and follow his commandments. I think a patriarchal blessing can be looking back at your blessing, or I guess like getting it, is just a really good, like, good stepping stones. Like yesterday when I read it, I was just feeling so lost. I was like, this person's telling me to do this. This person's telling me to do this. Like, I just don't know what's right. And I had this moment of like, who do I talk to? And I was like, I eventually got to the point where I was like, of course I need to talk to the Lord. But even then, sometimes it can be hard to hear him. But if we have like these words of blessings and guidance and comfort.
Yeah.
Like, I may not know exactly what I need to do, but I can know that, like, my blessing says this, and I can, like, I can then figure out what I need to do to get there. Or it simply just tells me who I am, and I can be comforted that, like, I'm not the worst person in the world. There's light there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And that guidance can also come from the Book of Mormon. Like, we can feel so lost, but we have so many, like literal words that we can fall back on.
Mm-hmm. And the words of modern-day prophets and apostles and even our church leaders. And every Sunday, we have the chance to go to church and to listen to our ward members who have prepared lessons and talks, and all usually just perfectly aligned to help us too. Mm-hmm. You know, I love like sitting in sacrament or in release sighting being like, that was for me.
Mm-hmm.
Or I needed to hear that.
Yeah.
And I feel like it happens every week, and what a gift from God that he's like, I know you.
Mm-hmm.
Listen up. This one's for you.
Yeah. I, when I went to President or Elder and Sister Uchtdorf's devotional yesterday,
mm-hmm.
it was at BYU, and I went with this group of people, and one of the guys that came is a recent convert. He got baptized. He moved to America from El Salvador like 5 months ago.
Oh, wow.
And then he got baptized 3 months ago.
Wow.
And afterwards, me and this girl were asking him, like, how his experience was, like, listening to Elder Uchtdorf. And he was like, I really, like, heard the Lord, like, speaking to me.
Mm.
And there were so many things that, like, he said it felt like he was speaking directly to me. And it was so, so sweet. Like, my heart just got, like, so warm when he said that. And I felt the Spirit so strongly when he did, because he said before he moved here, he, like, his mom was Catholic, of mm-hmm. course. And he said that she would talk about, like, this comfort relationship with God, and he never understood. But this was, like, the perfect time in his life when he can feel that, and he does understand, like, what she was talking about, that he hears the Lord speak to him frequently.
I love that.
You know?
And he does.
So sweet.
He does speak to us frequently.
He does. I think we just need to be better at listening. And even, I think sometimes we're intentionally, like, at least me, I'm trying to intentionally listen.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, I don't know, our phones and worldly yeah. things are so distracting.
There's so much noise.
So much noise. It's so hard to, like, be still.
Yeah. I feel like I've been trying to, I've heard the concept recently of, it's called confetti time. It's like there's so many things in our life right now that just like cut up our time. It's like you're doing something, say you're studying your scriptures, and then my watch just did it. Your watch beings, or you're in sacrament meeting, and then someone calls you and you have to step out. It's like there's so many things that just like cut up the times of our lives. It's like we need to be better at like not chopping up our time, but like creating consecrated time for the Lord to listen and to be present and to hear him, because he has a lot to say to us.
Yeah.
And he loves us, and he wants us to be his closest friend.
Yeah.
And we're better friends when we're better listeners.
Yeah. He wants to spend that time with us.
Totally.
Yesterday, my friend kept looking at my location when I was at the temple. She was like, I saw you were there for 30 minutes, and then you were there for like 3 hours. Like, are you okay?
Oh.
And then I just like told her my experience, and she was like, yeah, she said it so casually, but she was like, I really felt like the Lord, like, I feel like the Lord wanted to spend that time with you. Mm. Like, I think we're always thinking about like, oh, maybe I should want to spend more time with the Lord, or people are telling me I should spend more time, but he just wants to hear from us and spend that one-on-one time with us.
He just wants to hang out.
Yeah. So he wants to chill with us, hang out.
We need to be better at being there with him.
Yeah.
And making times to hang out with him.
Yeah. He won't ever be, like, distracted either. Like, sometimes my ADHD is so bad that when someone's talking to me and they're, like, I was at UVU the other day. I was talking to one person, but there were so many people walking by them. I was just, like, watching everyone. I, like, couldn't focus on them. But, like, the Lord will never not focus on us. He won't ever be distracted.
Mm-mm.
Which is special.
Oh, and that's true for all of us, and that's true for you. Mm-hmm. He wants to spend time with you, and he loves you, and he really is your bestest friend. So keep him close.
We would love to hear, like, what experiences you've had with, like, not experiences, but times where you've, like, hung out with the Lord or, like, had that time with him, that one-on-one time. Or, like, go try out some of the things we've been talking about and let us know. Yeah. A lot of you have our numbers, so just text us. Or call me.
Yeah, FaceTime.
I'll answer.
I'm so bad at texting, yeah. So call me.
Actually, don't text us. Just call us. We're not good with texting.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. But we love you.
Yes.
Thanks for listening.
Or
watching, or wherever. We'll see you next time.
Love you guys.
Bye. Love you. Bye.